This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us. I don't know if you're listening to us on the Crime Scene Queen podcast or if you're listening to the Inside the Morgue podcast, but whichever platform and whichever episode you're listening to, welcome. This is Shelley. I'm one of your Crime Scene Queens.
And this is Laura, another Crime Scene Queen.
Hi, I'm Alice. I'm from Inside the Morgue. I'm an autopsy tech.
And I'm Jess. I'm also from Inside the Morgue, and I am an autopsy tech too.
And I have to say, I love your podcast. I just want to totally jump in real quick and start this off, and then we can like go back, I guess, and backtrack. But I listened to your episode, I think it was like 27 or something, but it was the I may wear scrubs, but I don't work in a hospital.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh. So I don't watch the TV show Scrubs, but I have to say that it was absolutely hilarious. And coming off of losing my voice and being sick, I'm kind of, you know, coughing a little bit, and I'm thinking to myself, well, is that my right lobe, which, or my right lung, which has like three lobes, or my left lung that has like two lobes? Like, which one am I coughing from? Like, how is this working? And
yeah,
so
funny.
I have to say that, yeah, the little tidbits of learning facts and stuff like that, absolutely appreciate. I think that, you know, it's kind of cool because both of us, all four of us, we have our podcasts that kind of do the same thing. So we give little tidbits of information and 401, we just kind of drop it in there, throw it in there. So anyway, all right, back to, I digress,
well,
I apologize.
Actually, I have to say that I think that my first episode that caught my eye on Inside the Morgue, because I saw you guys, because there's like a few mutual like Instagram accounts. So I saw the account on Instagram, and then I went through like a click hole, and then I ended up on the show, and then I saw an episode that said, a body farm is exactly what it sounds like. I'm like, okay, well, I'm listening to that one as an anthropology nerd. And
Obviously. Then
this podcast is against mailing drugs. So I'm like, ooh, we're getting better. And there's, what's the arsenic one? Arsenic and potatoes. Yeah.
Yes.
I thought that was funny.
We tried to reel you in with our titles.
It's exactly
you
what
did.
Yeah, your titles are awesome. So I guess, you know, just in case, I don't know which platform people are listening to us on. So I'm Shelley, and I am your courtroom cat from Crime Scene Queens. And I'm considered a courtroom cat because I actually am in the legal field, and I also do forensics. So I volunteer for forensics and I teach it. But my main paid job right now is in the legal field, and I've been doing that for, gosh, about 25 years or so. Laura, who are you?
Well, I am your friendly crime scene investigator and also with Crime Scene Queens. And I, you know, now at this point, since a few people have like called me out for online for not directly working for a PD currently, otherwise, by the way, I wouldn't be able to do this show. As of right now, I'm a professor of crime scene investigation. I work for forensic training, and I do a little bit of consulting on the side. So I still keep my toes wet in the forensics field. And you can definitely catch me at all the forensics conferences. By the way, like before we get into U2's intro, like on the autopsy tech side, do you guys participate in like American Academy of Forensic Sciences or International Association for Identification? Or do you guys have like other conferences and stuff that you go to?
I've looked into AAFS trying to become a member. Yeah. I forget what the criteria is for becoming a member.
Obnoxious, because I'm a member. It's
but
obnoxious.
There's also, it's like the National Association of Forensic Autopsy Techs.
Oh,
there's
another
one out there.
Yes.
And I've listened to that. But you have to have, now that I do, you have to be working in the field as a tech for over a year.
How do you do that now?
Okay. Well, I guess tell Shelley and I then about like you, what you two do and like how like you started doing your show. Cause I know that we kind of briefly have chatted about this before, but like, I'm sure the Crime Scene Queen audience wants to know more about you guys too.
Yeah. So hi, I'm Jess. We're from Inside the Morgue, and I kind of got into this field. I knew I wanted to get into it since my undergrad experience. I did my internship where I'm currently working. And that's when I knew I fell in love with it. And I was like, yes, this is the field and the path for me. went on to get my master's. I was working at a whole body donation center before I started doing autopsy tech work. And then I got into my current job and met Alice. And one day we were literally Googling best side hustles. And podcasting is one of them.
I think I jokingly said at one point, I was like, we should open a bar called The Morgue.
Ooh.
And then I was like, or we should have a podcast called The Morgue. And then Jess was like, no, Inside The Morgue. And then it just like, Jess
we
really
were just going back and forth with it.
Jess really took it and ran with it. Jess did like all the research on like, how do we record? How do we publish this? How do we make this happen?
Oh, so you're the study bug, huh?
Once I have an idea, I have to roll with it.
And I was like, oh my God, we're doing this. This is amazing. And
yay. So how long have you had the show?
Since, oh my God, we've had, I think, 28 or 29.
28 weeks ago.
I know, we do an episode every week. So 28 weeks ago, however long it is. So it's been like a little over 6 months.
Oh my gosh. Shelley, how many episodes do we even have? I don't even know how many episodes we have.
I don't know, but I'm interested.
I don't count.
We have to learn about Alice.
Oh, yeah. Hi, I'm Alice. I'm an autopsy tech. So I graduated with my bachelor's a while ago in biological sciences, and I actually worked as a molecular biologist for a while at a biotech company. I did that for about 5 years, and I've always been fascinated and in love with the field of forensics, but for some reason I got it in my brain that like it was just a fever dream. I could never actually do it. And finally, one day I decided to just like, you know what, I'm going to go for it. And I applied to grad school and I got my master's in biomedical sciences, concentrating in forensics. And I got my job as an autopsy tech, and I haven't looked back, and I love it.
Nice. I'm glad you didn't listen to yourself.
I know. It took me 5 years, but I finally stopped.
Okay. So explain to the audience, what exactly is an autopsy tech?
And the reason why this is so important is because I cannot tell you how many times I told people that I was a crime scene investigator. Oh, so what, you cut open bodies and stuff? No.
Dude, everyone, when I say I'm a forensic autopsy tech, they're like, oh my God, what's it like going to scenes? And I'm like, I don't know.
I don't do that. No, the other way.
I've gone to one scene as part of my training, and that was it.
Yeah.
Going so to scenes crazy. Is not in our job description. So what an autopsy tech is we are basically in the autopsy room and assisting the pathologist, mainly doing the evisceration, getting toxicology, taking every photo imaginable. And that's kind of what our role is.
Yeah. All right. Tell everybody what evisceration is, because we know, but they don't.
Using big words.
It's removing the organs. Yes. So viscera, that's like your internal organs. So evisceration, you're taking those out and you're giving them to a doctor to inspect.
And block.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And block.
Which we don't do, actually.
We actually don't usually do end block. We usually do organ by organ, which I believe is called for Chow's method.
And Ooh. I've seen a doctor do both.
Rokitansky is end block.
Yeah.
Listen, I love that sexy knowledge. I've seen a doctor do it both ways. And I have to say that for drama, end block is way more impactful.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because it's like unpacking a suitcase if all of your stuff was like in a laundry bag. Yeah. Like you're like lifting.
I love that description. I also have to say, so we're also big fans of your show. I think Jess actually listened to you first and was like, Alice.
I've listened to every episode and I'm so obsessed with you guys.
Oh, thank you.
And I told Alice that. I was like, Alice, check this podcast out because you're going to love it.
And I think the first episode I listened to was one where you talk about autopsies.
And I love that episode.
I love it too. And I
that's the first one I listened to.
Yeah, it caught my eye. I was like, gotta listen to this one. And I forget which one of you said it, but you described the skull breaker as like a flathead screwdriver. And that is the best description of that because I never know how to explain it to people. And now that's what I say.
You know, Shelley, I think, is the one that brought the point that a lot of the tools used in like autopsy suites is basically Home Depot stuff. It's not like anything outside of some of the saws or like
we literally have hedge trimmers.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
Yes. Yes.
Whenever someone comes in to either shadow or observe an autopsy for any reason, at least one person is like, I have those in my garage.
Yeah.
You use them a little differently than we do.
Hopefully, right?
And like the head cradle thing, the cradle that you rest the skull on, you know, it looks different depending on like what they had bought that day. Like one agency had just literally cut like a little semicircle out of a block of wood. And then some people bought those little, you know, like for when we have skulls, we have the little foam rings. Mm-hmm. Some people have foam rings. So like, it's not even like there's a, there's not like a standard autopsy equipment. It's like whatever the doctor prefers their tools to be is my experience.
What's clean is sometimes, you know, that's. There it is right there.
It might be clean, but it's not sterile.
Yes, that's an important rule in the morgue. Don't touch anything without gloves.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And always wear your PPE, including your goggles, so you don't have an overexplode in you. Not in you, on you, in your eye, I was going to say, but never mind.
Oh my gosh. That makes me think of the episode where I put the bone in my eye.
Oh my God. Wait, I remember that one. I listened to that one.
It's so gross. Okay, so one thing that I remember about like hanging out during autopsies is some doctors got really fancy with the music. In fact, the hottest pathologist I ever worked with always played Metallica.
Ooh.
And I don't even like Metallica that much, but he was so hot that now I think of them fondly.
I love it.
I feel like we always play, I mean, whatever the pathologist is in the mood for, some of them don't like to have music, but I feel like Dua Lipa is a go-to.
Really?
Dua Lipa's been a go-to lately. Funny. Yeah.
That's hilarious. And
sometimes when I'm like at the end of the day, if I'm setting up for the next day, I will put on some Metallica sometimes. It depends on my mood.
Nice.
I'm very into My Chemical Romance, so sometimes that'll be playing in the morgue.
Which, old school
like,
90s.
Really seals my like emo phase from high school when I'm like in a morgue listening to My Chemical Romance.
As autopsy techs, obviously, you know, I was listening to you introduce yourselves and, you know, we've talked before, but our audience, I'm sure some of them may have a question of, so you mean you weren't little and said, when I grow up, this is what I want to do? Do you think that there's anyone out there that's like, when they were little, they were like, this is what I want to do? That
has never been exposed. Operation a lot.
Yeah. Oh, I loved Operation.
My boyfriend's mom actually, as a joke for Christmas, got me the game Operation and said she gave it to me so I could work from home. And she gave me, but it said
her.
It like on the outside, it was like, so you can work from home. And I'm like, what the hell is this going to be?
Oh my gosh, that's Operation. So rad. Do you play it?
Yes. It's in our living room right now. Oh yeah, we need to hear the story.
Yeah, I feel like Shelly kind of is the inception of this.
So this is kind of a crazy thing. I literally had met Laura a few hours before. So the day that I met Laura, because we both work for the same company teaching, and went to this bar waiting for our dinner reservations. A bunch of us were hanging out. More people ended up showing up. We didn't have enough chairs for the table. So I look over and I see a table of guys, and I also describe them as nerds. And I was like, there's extra chairs over there. They're nerds. They're not waiting for anyone. So I go over there and I was like, hey, can I have those chairs? You guys waiting for people? And they're like, oh yeah, totally. Like, what are you here for? And I was like, oh boy, here it goes. We're here for the forensics conference. And they're like, oh, that's here. I said, yeah, what are you guys here for? They're like, oh, the podcast conference. I'm like, oh, okay. Didn't know that that was a thing. Okay, cool. And so then they told me that I could have the chairs as long as I came back. So I grabbed one chair, went back and was like, Laura, I need you to get my six, girl. I don't understand these nerds. Like, I don't know what's going to happen, but whatever. So then I go back over and then we started chatting. And then they were like, have you ever thought about doing a podcast? I was like, nope. And they say, well, why don't you meet up with us? And so the next day, Laura and I met up with them. And that's kind of our long story, but yeah. Long story short,
I've listened to like 4 podcast episode ever. I'm not sure that you even really want me to do this. Also, I just didn't know if like I knew that people found what we do interesting, but there are boundaries on what I was willing to share based on our casework on this show, despite what any of our audience might think compared to some of the stuff that's been put out already. But there are boundaries with certain sensitive cases that I'm just not going to go there with. So I'm like, well, there's going to be this and that. And I don't want to have to like, oh, well, here's how we do photography and here's how you use a fingerprint brush. And then as it turns out, people actually want to know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really do.
I was like, no one wants to hear about courtroom testimony, and they loved it. So yeah, it's just, I thought the same thing. But I mean, everyone obviously wants to hear about what's inside the morgue.
Not always.
I like it.
Honestly, like whenever I tell people like what I do for a living, it's either, oh, that's so cool, like tell me about it, or I get like, ew, that's what you do.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. There's no in between.
Exactly. Either someone wants to know everything about what you do, or they want you to stop talking immediately.
Yeah. You know, when people like kind of are judgy about the field like that, because believe it or not, CSIs get that too. Whenever you get that face, I'm like, oh, you look fun.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Oh my gosh, I was talking to somebody online the other day. I realized that I don't even know what I would do for like a crime scene in snow.
Oh, wow.
There was a case that I think it happened over the holiday weekend. I think the temperatures dropped here like so low, like they were in the teens. And there was a body literally frozen, and it had to like stay in one of our enclosed suites to literally thaw out so we could do an autopsy.
That's so rad.
I wasn't here over the holidays.
You had a humansicle.
A humansicle. So, okay, I have a question for you guys, because I just used a word and now I'm very cognizant of when I use two different words. One of them is rad and the other one is 100%.
It's like a vocal tick.
Yeah, it kind of is.
That's like our Jane Doe episode where we said spooky.
I was just going to say, it was our Halloween episode or around Halloween, and we watched the scary movie Autopsy of Jane Doe, and we just kept saying spooky.
There was no other word to describe what we were talking about.
That was a two-part episode. And I remember, so the first part, we said spooky a bunch. And I remember the second part, I was like typing out a little mini script just so we had like talking points. Yeah. And I was like using a thesaurus to look for other words for spooky.
You're going to be like ghoulish.
Yeah, ghoulish.
Yeah, creepy.
Creepy.
Crawly. What are other synonyms of spooky?
See, now I forget. No, I can't think of anything that's spooky.
How many scientists does it take? How many women in STEM does it take to come up with a synonym for spooky?
Creepy. I said a lot again.
So in our show, we do a lot of mitigating false science that's put out there by the media. Do you, in your show, have a lot of opportunities to address things or your own version of the CSI effect, like where people misunderstand what the like, tell me a little bit about that and like how you've come across that.
So we watch any and all CSI or like any crime drama that we can. And we play the fun little game of giving it red flags or green flags. So if they do something right, they get a green flag.
I've heard you do
red
that.
Red flag if they do something wrong.
Yeah.
And I don't know. We've seen so
There's
many
lots of red flags.
So many red flags.
The darkness of the room. Oh, it's always a dark room.
And no one wears any PPE.
They always do it in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Ever.
Yeah,
because it's spooky.
Very on brand.
Yes.
It's ominous.
There we go.
Oh.
Do you guys have a version of the Dale Earnhardt law where you are? Do you have an awareness of that law?
I know of it because I've listened to your podcast and you've mentioned it before.
Yeah, that's the only reason I know it.
Yeah. So before that, we were, and it's kind of modified within the parameters of each autopsy, like, organization, because at the end of the day, the Dale Earnhardt law is what it is. Like, you can't distribute these photos like at all. They're no longer subject to public records requests and all of this. But we were for a while allowed to go in and collect our own, next to the forensic photographer, like our own series of crime scene photos. But, you know, somebody did something and then we were not allowed to do that anymore. And I didn't mind, but we had a separate forensic photographer than the autopsy techs. So does that role merge for you guys?
Yes.
Yeah, we're basically the forensic photographers and autopsy techs all in one.
Both, yeah, that's a lot of, somebody's got to have clean hands in there.
We have a system.
Tell me your clean hands system, because I'm just sitting there thinking, how could you possibly do that without wasting?
Our camera in the back is a designated dirty camera.
Yeah,
I see.
We have two cameras in the back.
I'll let Jess field this question because she's like the photography expert. She went to a conference for it and is so good at it.
Ooh.
I went to a training in Colorado. So our system, we do switch off every other day, primary, secondary. So whoever's primary does the main cutting for that day if we have autopsies. And then the secondary will do all of the photos with cleaner gloves than the primary. And they'll take care of all the toxicology and packaging up of everything on that side. And it's a really good system. We have a really good flow in the back.
Yeah, it's really.
We just know what the other's doing. We don't even have to like tell somebody. We're like, all right, got it.
Do you have a favorite cut?
Like organ to take out?
I don't care. Is there, is it the, I don't care.
The
what
y.
is your favorite cut?
I do love the Y.
You like the Y?
I think taking the kidneys out.
I was going to say kidneys.
I'm the same person.
Why? See, why is it so much fun? Like,
they're like a, in a sack within a sack. So
okay,
it's
balls.
Like the kidney, and then there's this like other protective sack, and then
tell me more.
Sit in fat, so you cut into that, and you have to peel
you
it
like
away.
Pop it out,
and it's just so satisfying because it comes out so smooth. Yeah.
It's like garlic where you just go. Bloop.
I like that noise when they peel the head skin.
It sounds like Velcro.
Yes. When you take the head, is there a, what's the proper term for like you like peel it off?
The scalp peel.
Yes, scalp peel. It sounds like a beauty treatment.
It does.
we can open our own med spa.
I was going to say next to the bar, we'll have a spa.
A med spa. You can get a new face here.
Oh my gosh. That's so amazing. That is so amazing.
But
I
also
I
like that plastron crack.
I do enjoy. I sound like a serial killer.
No, you don't.
Okay, thank
I
you.
I mean, I did not use at the all. Dismember for science.
That's
so
true.
I understand.
When you're doing the skull, like you're taking off the calvarium, the top of the skull.
Oh, me too.
Do the bone saw, but then you do the skull breaker and you put it in and you twist and it like clicks.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not clicks, it like
and
pops.
Then it pops off the calvaria.
Like, yeah, that might be one of my favorite parts.
Have you seen Mars Attacks? It's an older movie now.
I know of it. Haven't seen it.
So the way the aliens in this movie look is they have kind of like humanoid faces, not very human, but the brain is like very external.
Yes. Yeah. I know so what you're talking about.
So whenever I would walk into an autopsy suite and the brain was exposed because they had removed the calvaria. Oh, sorry, guys. So the calvaria is.
Thank you. You know pretty, I was going to get there.
Yes. I mean, I'll let the ladies of science explain why, but essentially at some point they will remove the calvaria of the cranium, which is if you think about your eyebrows and above, like kind of like the bottle cap of your head.
That's a perfect exclamation.
I don't think anyone could nail that better than that you just did, Laura. Like the bottle cap. Absolutely.
Amazing.
Like, pop it off. I love the way brains look.
I like the way that livers feel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like you're like, oh, you were an alcoholic. Oh, you're so hard. And you're like, oh, you're super squishy. You didn't have any alcohol in your life.
I like when the doctors look super creepy while they're slicing the organs with that huge knife and it looks like they're preparing a delicatessen.
Yep.
Huge knife? No.
Like, yes.
They have a knife. Like 12 or 14 inches.
Well, yeah.
After we take the organs out, they cut them with like a bigger knife.
On a cutting board and everything.
Literally like a dissection knife is what it's
yeah,
called.
Yeah, it's, mm-hmm. yeah, but like, well, okay, so for some organs, yeah, but like the brain, when I found the stroke in the brain, like the doctor was literally like slicing the brain. And it was like filleting very, very gently, but it wasn't even that, it wasn't a huge knife. It was like a fillet knife.
No, this is a different
like
thing.
A fillet knife that I used when I would fillet the fish after I caught them, because I'm kind of a hick. So you like, you descale them and then you fillet the fish and then you cook it.
That can be a drink, descaling the body. It can be green.
Ooh.
Descaling.
Ooh. And we could have, with Goldschlager, and we could have the little gold flakes.
Oh my God, that's genius.
Okay, so are we going into business or what? The four
I
of
think
us.
We have to.
I think we have to.
When both of our shows blow up, we will invest in this bar and it's
where's
happening.
It going to be at though?
It'll be a chain.
There has to be multiple locations.
A chain. Perfect. A chain. I don't need to stay in California. Franchise.
Yes, a franchise. Yeah.
Franchise, for sure. For sure. We're getting a little 411 here. Yes.
So, like, how do you guys feel about decoms as autopsy techs?
Oh, God.
Very.
Oh, my God. This smells amazing. What do you mean? Oh.
Shelly loves talking about decom smell.
I love it.
But like,
I
what do you do?
Like, smell of autopsy and decomp.
Worst cases to work on because the smell just lingers forever and it doesn't go away.
Did you hear my hair wash rule though?
Yeah.
You know my hair wash rule.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so they would never shower or wash their hair, Laura. You have to understand this. Jess and Alice, how many days a week do you ladies work?
6 days.
Six?
We do every other Saturday.
Yeah, we alternate Saturdays.
Okay, yeah. So they would literally never wash their hair, Laura.
Okay, but, that's not true because I have gotten myself down to only once every 5 days hair washing.
I've been trying to do it less, especially I've recently gone blonde. And so like I'm trying to not ruin my color now, but it's
so
natural.
It looks weird because my lighting is super weird. I look like I'm a ghost. I have no idea. I don't understand. I don't know. It's probably the computer. I have no idea, but whatever. It's fine. But this hair is naturally blonde. And if I don't wash it every day, it turns to grease.
Because you wash it every day. Okay. Well, hold on. Let me tell you the decomp tell the story. Okay.
Sorry. Tell the story.
So when you wash your hair, it strips it of oils and it basically leaves all of those follicles open. So if you have washed your hair the day of a decomp, you are effed in the A for the next few days because all of that smell gets absorbed into your hair. If you haven't, then it'll probably come off a lot quicker.
Okay.
So if you've washed your hair, wear one of those stupid showering cap things to protect it, and maybe you'll have a fighting chance of not bringing the smell home with you as badly.
We do wear caps in the morgue, but they're not like plasticky. They're still like...
Get yourself a shower cap for hair wash day. So really quickly, because again, off topic, you have to wash your hair every day because you wash your hair every day. Your hair is like any other part of your body. It responds to how you live, the food you eat, the way that you work out or not. Your hair is a living thing, most of it, right? So if you wash it and strip it of the oils every single day, it will respond by producing enough oil to replace what you stripped it of. So if you put your hair like in a ponytail and just deal with the grease trap for a day, you'll notice that every time you extend it a day, it'll be less and less painful for you to have ickiness. And thus, you could also just stick it in a braid or a messy bun.
Big fan of the messy bun, like right on top of my head.
Oh my gosh, you guys, I feel like we could do this forever.
I know.
So I think we should do like a follow-up episode.
Yeah,
I'm so down for that. We should do an episode where we watch a show together and we all rip it apart.
Cool.
Oh, yes.
Before we wrap up, what TV shows do you guys think portray the most accuracy towards CSIs and
Forensic
legal?
Files, 100%.
Oh.
I have had a really hard time finding something accurate because they always have to fluff it up a bit.
Yeah.
Dateline's good for like a little bit of legal stuff in there too, but Forensic Files is on point, I think, for forensics.
Right.
I do appreciate Dateline. When I'm in trial, I cannot watch Law & Order because it frustrates me so bad because I'm like, that is so not even true.
I was going to ask Shelly about Law & Order and I wanted to ask Laura about Bones because you're anthropology. Do you hate Bones? Oh, I guess you hate Bones.
So
I love this. When she gets that look, I love this.
So here's the deal with Bones. First of all, do you know that Bones is based on a series of books by a woman named Kathy Reichs?
I actually did not know that. Justin.
So Kathy Reichs is a real forensic anthropologist. She created Temperance Brennan as, you know, to be a truthful, true to the science anthropologist. And if you read the books, it's phenomenal. So the first few seasons of Bones, the only real beef I had with it is there was a lot of the, you know, a lot of stuff that we experience in forensics with the CSI effect, like a lot of expedited processes, like a maceration of a full human body has taken us sometimes nearly a month to be done properly. And I think there was an episode where the maceration happened in like an hour or something. And for those of you who don't know what a maceration is, the word maceration means to soften with water. So if you think about deboning a chicken by boiling it, sorry, y'all, we do that with people when their decomposition state is too advanced to create an identity from looking at them. Their soft tissue isn't present enough. we're doing some kind of excavation. Basically, whenever the soft tissue content of the human being is not enough to do a good human identity or trauma analysis. So we will then macerate down to the skeletal material to create the biological profile that you heard me discuss in the skulls episode and a little bit in previous episodes. So they really, really make that process look way too effing easy. The lab that she works in is very, very cool and like museum worthy rather than an actual lab. In fact, most anthropologists work out of a medical examiner's office. Unless you're associated with a university that has the capacity, we don't typically have our own lab to always bring things back to. And if we do, it's not such a big space. So the first few seasons of Bones, I totally am down with overall, but then you can tell like Hollywood kind of like ran with it and had to make it a thing. And it's kind of obnoxious because I remember being somewhat pleased initially. Mm. That's my long answer.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that answer. I had a feeling you were going to not love Bones.
Well, because like they didn't have to ruin it with bullshit, but they did.
Yeah. Ooh.
Okay, so can I just say something about Bones? I don't really watch Bones, but one of my dogs, my Frenchie, is named Zoe after Zoe Deschanel.
Oh, she's so cute.
Her
too.
Sister is Dr. Bones, Dr. Brennan.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's Zoe Deschanel's sister. So, yeah. So, that's the only reason why I really even know anything about Bones.
I love that.
Emily Deschanel.
Yeah. Emily, yes. That's right. I couldn't remember her name.
And plus, David Boreanaz is in it. So, I was super excited to watch it for that reason because I was a Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan.
Angel. Yes.
Yeah. And I'm still pissed they didn't end up together, by the way, at the end of those shows.
Like, I don't know. Spoiler alert. I mean, for, you know.
It ended in like the early 2000s. Okay, guys, so basically you'll have to like check out both of our shows if you guys are listeners. I mean, you guys, if you've not already had enough of this, you can get a little from column A and a little from column B by going to Crime Scene Queens or Inside the Morgue to hear more hilarity and ridiculousness.
Absolutely.
So we're going to put links in our show notes to both shows.
Yeah, same for us.
We need to definitely watch a movie and give our input. And instead of just having, like, you know, like a glass of wine or something, we need to have different drinks and name them.
Ooh. Yes. We can do like bartending bombshell STEM women.
Yeah, and we'll like have ingredient lists and... Yeah, so listeners, if you guys have any ideas, definitely, you know, hit us all up.
Yeah, shoot us your best forensic-related drink ideas. So you can either send them to at Crime Scene Queens or at Inside the Morgue on Instagram. Do you guys do TikTok too?
We're just on Instagram and we're at Inside the Morgue Pod.
Inside the Morgue Pod.
Yep.
Inside the Morgue was taken.
Yeah, I know. We went to try and make it. Inside the Morgue was taken. Someone else had it. But
rude.
I know.
So rude. Bet you they're not as fun as we are, as y'all are. Here I am including me. I'm like, yeah, I'm part of this.
You are.
We're all part of each other's shows now.
Our so sibling amazing. Shows.
Our sisters
so amazing.
Time.
Yes. Y'all are sisters from another. God.
We're like each other's what? Weird cousin.
Y'all are amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you for being on our show.
Thank you for being on ours.
We really appreciated this. I know that, you know, I hope our listeners did as well.
I love it. Bye for now, everyone.
All right, everybody. Thank you. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Crime Scene Queens is a Q Code Media production. Executive produced by David Henning and Steve Wilson. Produced by Ryan Kownshouse. Edited by Will Tendy. Theme song and music by Darren Johnson.